What are the top legal risks in leading churches today, and how can you be prepared? Our friend, attorney Erica Cole, stops by to share her insights and strategies on this special episode of the podcast.
Informing, encouraging, and supporting your church, you're listening to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast from ECFA.
Welcome back for another Excellence in Church Administration podcast. This is your host, Michael Martin from ECFA. Well, hey, I'm really looking forward to today's episode as we welcome my friend, Erica Cole, to share with us about her insights on church leadership in an age of risk. So many of you know Erica already as the church attorney. With over 20 years of experience serving churches and ministries, she recently helped launch the church and faith-based organization practice at the law firm Whiteford, Taylor & Preston out of their office in Baltimore, Maryland. Erica has also dedicated literally hundreds of volunteer hours to ECFA's ministry over the years as a speaker, an author, and an advisor on our ECFA board of directors. And can't say enough how much we appreciate her and her service. And I know all of you guys that are tuning in today are really going to love hearing from her more. So as Erica and her firm are gearing up to host a conference for church leaders that's focused on this topic that I mentioned earlier of church leadership in an age of risk. It's such a timely topic that I told Erica when we were talking that we had to have her here on the podcast to share some insights with us, plus give an insider's look at what's in store for the conference. So Erica, thanks so much for being our guest today.
It's really my pleasure to be with you, Michael. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Awesome. Well, hey, how about this? Before we jump more into the topic for today, for those that haven't had a chance to get to know you already, I'd love for you just to share a little bit more about you and your work with churches. And maybe a question too is, when did you realize that you had a burden on your heart to serve pastors and churches with your legal career?
Interesting question. Well, as you said, I am an attorney. The focus of my practice is and has always been representing churches, ministries, denominations, church planting organizations. And I was raised in the church. So I would call myself a pew baby, like literally as an infant, you know, my parents would take me and my brother to church. And even when we couldn't fully process it or understand it, we grew up in the church, and I really came to a saving grace, thank God, and knowledge of the Lord for myself. And I was one of those strange kids, I guess, that knew very early on what I wanted to do. So by like sixth grade, I knew I wanted to be an attorney. And it wasn't until I graduated from high school, then went to undergrad and you know, matriculated through law school, and had the opportunity to clerk for the then chief judge of the courts for Maryland, where I went to law school. And interestingly enough, a case came to the court that involved a large denomination and a local church that wanted to secede from the denomination. And that was my first experience that churches had a legal component. And so it really connected with me, and I believe that that was my divine direction to move forward in this area of representing churches. And so that's been my work ever since then.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I just think it's funny. I've known you all these years, and I never knew that story of how you got started with that. So you have to have a podcast.
On you, Michael.
I know. No, I can totally relate to you in a lot of ways, and feel really blessed that we get to work together so closely now. And speaking of which, I know one thing that I've always really appreciated about you and we have at ECFA is just you have this heart, not just to serve churches, but really to see churches operate by high standards of integrity and to really be good models. And we can look to your board service at ECFA and on in your practice. But love for you just to kind of give folks a sense of why that's such a passion of yours.
Well, first of all, it's such a blessing to be connected with ECFA. And as you mentioned, I'm in my second term of service. And to watch ECFA at work and to see the spirit of the leadership there, including you and John Van Drunen and the president, Dan Busby. It was just very obvious to me that it would be a blessing to be able to serve on the board of ECFA and even more closely align with the work that you all do. So because you provide this incredible standard of integrity, it allows me to be able to point churches to a clear measuring stick, honestly, of operation. And when you ask why is that important, because unfortunately we live in a time now where, unlike when I was a kid, church was generally viewed in a positive way. And now there's a lot of criticism, some of which, frankly, we as the body of Christ have bought on ourselves, but some of which is just the spirit of the age. So to the degree that churches can operate in that high standard of integrity and we can encourage one another, I think that's a very biblical methodology, that we challenge each other to operate in an integrous way. Then it allows us to point people to Christ, honestly, and hopefully the way that I see my job is that if I'm serving churches well and able to help them with their legal services and to be able to operate in integrity, then hopefully they can focus on ministry work as opposed to dealing with areas of legal challenge.
Yeah, if you could, we're not together in the same room, but if you could see me over here, there's a big amen happening over here. That is something that we hear just more and more. You know, in fact, churches are the fastest growing segment of ECFA today. And I think a lot of what you mentioned in terms of just the spirit of the age that we live in and how culture is really shifting and changing in a lot of ways around us. And that's actually a really good segue into kind of the meat of what we wanted to talk about today. And that is, you know, understanding leadership in this age that we're living in. You talked about the, you know, the age that's happening in this age of risk. I think that's one of the things that we're seeing. So as you reflect back, Erica, just kind of thinking over your last 20 years, your career in law, we've seen a lot of those shifts take place. And, you know, one thing we're seeing is change, a lot of change, but not just change, but it's really happening at a more rapid pace, I think, than we've ever seen before. So what are two or three, would you say, of the most significant changes or risks that churches are having to face today that maybe they didn't have to face back when we were kids?
Well, I think that you and I were kids at different times, but nevertheless,
back in the day.
So several things. First of all, as I've alluded to, church litigation. It's incredible the amount of litigation that involves churches nowadays. Back when I was a kid, no one, it seemed to me, no one would think of suing a church, much less a church where a person, him or herself, was a member. Or even someone outside of the church. It's just we didn't see so much litigation affecting churches. And now, especially churches with, I think the number is, if they have a membership over 1,000, they are much more likely to be sued. I think something like 10 times more likely to be sued. I mean, it's just it's a significant shift. One of the major cases that really brought this to my attention involved a church that was in the DC area, large congregation, really thriving place to be. But unfortunately, their leader passed away and there was not clear succession planning. And you've seen this, I'm sure, a number of times as well. And it just resulted in long-term litigation. And I've seen this play out over and over and over again. And so when you talk about the, you know, two or three of the areas where there are significant changes affecting churches, litigation is a primary area. The next thing I would say is social media. because it didn't exist when we were coming up. And now not only does it exist, it's a huge part of our everyday life on a personal level, as well as ministries. Often churches want to remain current in that way and have ways of connecting with the outside world, if you will, via social media. But sometimes things can go awry. I had a case where a pastor was responding to one of the church shooting that occurred in Texas, and God knows that, you know, caused all of our hearts to mourn. But this pastor responded in such a way on social media where he brandished a weapon, you know, toward the camera and on, you know, live on social media, and that's not a good idea. But there are just so many different things that people say. This past week, there was a major brouhaha in the church world via social media when a pastor went on social media and went on a major rant and used some language that we would not anticipate of a church leader, and was uninvited to a major church event as a result. So social media is such an important platform. And often I see that churches may not have, you know, they may have a social media, like a page, you know, various pages, but they don't really know how to manage it from a legal standpoint. And I guess maybe one other area I would toss in is church mergers. I find myself being more and more involved in churches that decide, for varying reasons, that a merger may be best for their ongoing operations. And so I would mention those as three strong areas of change that I've seen over the past 5-10 years.
No, those are good. So church litigation, social media, and mergers, those would definitely all be at the top of my list as well. And this is totally not fair to ask you on a podcast with a shorter time, together. But what kind of tips might you have for churches in terms of how they should be responding to these changes, or kind of anticipating them? What are maybe some of just kind of the top insights that you might have?
I think that's a completely fair question. I'm happy to respond to it as concisely as possible. So I think the first thing is just really responding in what the way that we always want to connect, and that is just talking with our Heavenly Father and being in prayer and really seeking His face for ongoing wisdom, because it takes that, whether you're a pastor, executive pastor, or you know, in the finance department, or whether you're an attorney or a CPA, serving these, having the pleasure of serving these kinds of entities. Prayer is always the right answer. That's my quote. Prayer is always the right answer.
That's a great place to start.
And then I think ongoing education. I think just like in any field, it can be very easy to just narrowly focus on making the widgets, right? Or just preparing the sermon, or just seeing how church operations internally go on from Sunday to Sunday. But educating, ensuring that there's ongoing educating toward these areas of concern, toward church administration matters, toward church legal matters, toward church accounting matters, church finance matters, just being in a place where we're learning and having ongoing education so that we are prepared and we can operate in wisdom. And I think that, you know, ECFA's podcast is a great place to start, as well as your church Excel, which provides incredible information right at one's fingertips. And hopefully our annual conference, the Church Compliance Conference, is another option where our firm is working directly with ECFA toward making sure churches have ongoing up-to-date information in these important areas.
No, that's perfect. I definitely wanted to hear more about the conference, because I know we are limited today in our podcast time to talk about these risks and how churches should respond. So this is going to be a major focus for you guys, right? And the conference that's coming up is how should churches be prepared for some of the top risks, right?
Exactly. I'm actually going to be providing a plenary session on how churches can respond to the rapidly changing legal environment. And so I call it Faith Out Front. And hopefully people, just to give some insight, what the Church Compliance Conference is, you know, it's a comprehensive event that's designed to equip and inspire leaders. So equip leaders, but also inspire leaders with essential information necessary to operate in compliance with the ever-changing legal environment in which we live. So we're happy to connect with ECFA in this way, and you, particularly Michael, to be sharing the top financial considerations for church compliance. So we're excited.
Yeah, we are too. We're really honored to get to be a part of it. And so one of the privileges that I've had too is just to get to be on the planning committee and kind of see the agenda of what's in store. And one thing too that I love, Erica, that you guys are doing is there's not just going to be, you know, some of these kind of main stage sessions, but there's going to be some workshops, there's going to be some breakout times, and even some times for pastors to even kind of pastor to pastor talk through some of these things, right?
Yes, I've seen that pastors really they talk among themselves anyway, but we want to really provide a mechanism in which we can focus on some of these particular areas of concern and hopefully find that they can develop solutions as they work together and within the framework of information that we're able to provide that day.
Perfect. That's great. So you guys have the date lined up and the website, right? So where can folks go if they want to learn a little bit more about the Church Compliance Conference?
Sure. So the Church Compliance Conference is going to be held on Thursday, September 20th, 2018. And they can go to my website, which is churchattorney.com. And or there's also information at my firm's website, which is WTPlaw.com. So that's W as in Whiteford, T as in Taylor, P as in Preston, law.com.
Awesome. No, that's good. And I really, really encourage folks to take advantage of that opportunity. And whether you can make it to the conference or not, definitely check out all the great resources that Erica and her firm have out on their website. And we will definitely have Erica back for some future podcasts. And I know we have some webinars that we've done with you in the past, and really encourage folks to take advantage of those. And so thanks again, Erica, for being our guest today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Michael.
Well, good. Well, we also want to just say a special thank you to each of you who are listening for taking the time to tune in today. As we think about leadership and the constantly changing world around us that Erica and I have been talking about, one resource that I wanted to highlight for you is the rich webinar library on our website at ecfa.church. These one-hour experiences are designed to educate your team about late-breaking topics and equip you with the practical resources that you need to lead in these changing times. Just visit ecfa.church and click the resources tab, and there you'll find a tile that shows upcoming live webinars plus our webinars on demand. And of course, if you have any questions or other thoughts to share about the podcast, just send us an email at podcast@ecfa.org. We pray the Lord blesses each of you in your leadership today in the churches that you serve. And until next time, we look forward to being with you soon for another Excellence in Church Administration podcast.